Welcome to the Plants Are Friends podcast. This is your host, LD, and in today's episode, we'll be comparing The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood to The Color Purple by Alice Walker and explore how political ideologies and social stereotypes oppress women in a patriarchal society. Before we get started, get yourself a cup of tea and get comfortable. For the purpose of this episode, we will divide it into three segments. The first segment will highlight The Handmaid's Tale, while the second segment will highlight The Color Purple. And to finish, the first segment of the podcast will be comparing and analyzing the two novels.
Just tell us how it was back then.
It was horrible.
Speak up.
I was raped when I was 14 by six guys in my high school class. It was at a party we'd all been drinking. I thought that they were my friends. Then I had an abortion. But it wasn't my fault. My mother, she made me do it. She wouldn't let me have the baby.
Whose fault was it?
Her fault.
So let us begin with her first novel, The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. In this book, religion is used as a tool to oppress others, and we could argue that the Republic of Gilead itself could be a character. Gilead is a patriarchal regime that took over the US and is one to be portrayed as the near future. This new government brings in the US citizen back into the Dark Age, with a world fertility rapidly declining due to pollution after the war. Women are broken down into social classes based on their fertility. They're not allowed to own properties, read, or write, or even handle money. Their only duties are to procreate or to serve in the family that are trying to rebuild the population. Fertile women are put into the class of the handmaids, and these women are assigned to a man and their barren wife to reproduce with a man of the household in a ceremony once a month. Besides these ceremonies, sexual interaction between men and women is forbidden and can be punishable by amputation or even death. The regime started with an extremist group of men who put themselves as the sons of Jacob. They're a patriarchal group of heterosexual men and their family who blame the ongoing fertility crisis on sinful activities. And they're formally decided to create terrorist attack against the political governments of the US to create disruption and make them believe what they think is right. And out of fears, all the banks were frozen and women were asked to leave work, and that's when they took over. As the extremist group of Gilead started taking over, protests broke out, but they were immediately wiped out by violence and aggression. People were scared, but Canada took in as many refugees as they could to protect them from the government that took over the US. But as so far, all the people that escape is very minimal, and there's many resistance groups working on taking down the Republic of Gilead, but one in particular called Mayday, which has the most promise in taking down this regime, is restore the US is a rightful state.
You told Harpo to beat me.
It was that mule, Paul. Old Joy the mule, I tell you, I was out there trying to plow that north field, and the mule just went crazy. He started kicking and bucking, hit me right there, bust my eye, bust my lip.
All my life I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy, I had to fight my uncles, I had to fight my brothers. Girl child ain't safe in the family men, sir. But I ain't never thought I had to fight in my own house. I love us, Hopper. God knows I do. But I kill him dead before I let him bleed.
Now moving on to The Color Purple by Alice Walker. The Color Purple follows the life of Celie Johnson as she started full life in the early 90s. The heartfelt novel began with Celie about 14 years old giving birth to her second child, who was fathered by her father, who we later on find out is her stepfather as he dies. Her stepfather takes the second child away and tells her to never tell anyone about it. The Color Purple follows the life of the main character called Celie as she struggles through life in the early 90s. The heartfelt novel begins with Celie at about 14 years old giving birth to her second child, who was fathered by her father, who we later on finds out is her stepfather as he dies. Her stepfather takes the second child away from her and tells her to never tell anybody about it. Time passes and a local farmer, Mr., aka Albert Johnson, comes by to marry Celie's younger pretty sister, Nettie. Her father refuses to let Nettie marry and give the man Celie instead. Mr. verbally, physically, and sexually abuses Celie day after day. Then one day, Nettie comes by asking to stay with them because their stepfather was beating her the same way he treated Celie. Mr. tried to lure Nettie to have sex and Nettie fought him off. Out of anger, he sent her away, leaving Celie more distraught than ever. Nettie promises to write letters unless death keeps them apart. But Celie never received a letter, which later Celie discovered them in Mr. Carr's trunk. Meanwhile, Mr.'s lover, Shook Avery, comes to visit and befriend Celie, helping her to understand that she is more than Mr.'s servant. As we see the novel end, we see Celie leaving Mr. with a threat that everything he touches will fall apart until he does right by her. Mr. finds compassion and goes to the INS to help Celie's sister Nettie prove that she is a US citizen and return from Africa, where she has been living with Celie's two children who has been given to a missionary and his wife. As the novel ends, we see the story going from dark and gloomy to hopeful and bright. Nettie and Celie are finally reunited, and she can see her children, and she has finally proven that she can achieve her own freedom. So we finally reached the last segment of our podcast, and as we've seen in both novels, we can see that the book portrayed their female character negatively using misogynist stereotype that question and uphold at once the traditional role of women in society. And both novels aim to educate and highlight the audience to the psychology effect of female mistreatment. And finally, both texts question and undermine the marginalization of movement by sowing the jealousy of hope and opportunity. As we finish by analyzing the two texts, we see that the most common way that people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. This quote from Alice Walker encapsulates the premises of her novel The Color Purple and Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. Both novels aim to educate and annihilate their audience to the psychological effect of female subjections. Walker and Atwood utilize a myriad of literary techniques and the power of female first-person narrative, illuminating to all readers the victimization and suppression of women in patriarchal societies and households. Walker's quote is reflective of the protagonist in both novels. Only when they think they have no power is when they truly paralyze